S-R-A. Welcome to Crespo Disco number 8.
Oh, let me do that again. That was kind of short. It's a new one, Drew. Listen.
Hey, it's a new one.
It's a new one.
It's like that's like a live studio audience clap.
Yeah, it's like there's people here, even though there's not just you and me. How's it going, Drew?
It's going.
It's my co-host, Drew Sikagra, and I am Christopher Crespo, and this is a music bonus episode of Crespo Disco number 8.
Really? Number 8? That's it?
That's it.
I thought there'd been more.
No, eight. I'm surprised we're already up to 8.
Mm-hmm.
We only do one a month. That means it's been 8 months since we started doing the Crespo Disco.
That's it. Seems like it's been longer. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were in such purgatory over there.
I am.
The Chris Crespo Disco is this opening. People are going to wonder what the music is. It's some Philip Glass. You recognize any Philip Glass?
Yeah.
It's all the repeating patterns and whatnot. 6, 7, 8 minutes of like minor shifts in melody, you know. This is from this piece, Glassworks. It's like six or seven tracks.
Get it, Glassworks.
Glassworks is from 1982, I believe, is the first time he put it out. And it's incredible from start to finish, the whole thing. I love it all. That's the second, I don't know if you want to call it a track or whatever, because it's like in movements, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. You know, they do with that classical shit. But it's a whole album. It's fantastic, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about entire albums, start to finish. Those things that you can put on the CD, the record, whatever it is.
You just put it in, and like 4 days later, you realize you've been listening to the same CD for 4 days.
And you know, it was great. It was like you thought of this idea. You came up with this idea last month, and I was like, "This is a brilliant idea. We'll definitely write this one down. That's what we're doing next." And then I figured it'll be easy to come up with like 5.
Oh, so insanely difficult, Chris.
And not that it's hard to just pick 5, but that it's hard to. There's so many great albums out there from start to finish.
There are.
And as a matter of fact, I just thought of one now as we were.
Dude, actually, it's really funny. Like, I came up with this list, you know, yesterday, and since then I've been. Still on my mind for some reason. I've added like another 6 albums to my list.
So we'll definitely go over our whole list at some point. But we managed to pick up five of our some of our most favorites. I mean, these are all albums that we love, but these are 5 that stand out a little more than the rest for different reasons. We'll talk about why. We'll get into each one, you know, why we picked it, because I'm sure it is going to be something we'll have to get into again. I don't know, episode 16.
Maybe
8 months from now.
Ugh, it's a long time. I could find like 10 more albums by then.
Oh, so many more, so many more.
And just in my mind could be blown. Like, oh my god, this is the greatest music I've ever heard in my life. It could be.
It could be. It could be.
You never know.
A little stereotypical. Oh, you know what? I got this one for you. Look, you're delighted. You are so see, I'm keeping that one.
I love me some Beavis and Butthead.
All right, so we're working our way towards a respectable 90s style soundboard here.
Beardo and the Stash.
Hey, nope, don't let the Beardo out of the bag just yet, dude.
Beardo and the Stash in the morning.
Brought to you by Disney.
Chris.
And Star Wars. And Lucas.
I am your father. It is true.
Yeah. Star Wars weekend's coming up.
That would be kind of weird if I was your father, because I'm, you know, younger than you are.
Well, you know, dad's a future past.
Yes.
We're not talking about movies. So here we go. Okay, so we're full albums. We're going to reclaim some attention spans. You know, enough of this top 40 bullshit singles. People just downloading one thing. Like, iTunes is great because instead of getting whole albums, you can just cherry pick songs. Screw that,
well,
man.
Spotify is great like that, too. I mean.
Well, that's the culture we live in, like, now. That's what I'm saying.
It's funny. Like, I've heard some awesome songs recently where it's like, oh, that song is awesome. And I'll be on Spotify and I'll check the artist. And I'm like, all right, let's see what else he does. Mm-hmm. And garbage.
Oh,
and garbage.
Shame.
And garbage.
Yeah.
And garbage. All right. So that's why you're a one-hit wonder.
Well, yeah, that definitely. That for sure happens. Absolutely. Yeah, not all albums are worthy of listening to or liking from start to finish. That's true. But we are in a culture where it's like people would rather just watch a short video. People would rather do like Tosh.0 instead of, you know, like a 3-hour, you know, epic movie. Or people would rather have a book read to them via, you know, via audiobooks as opposed to like sitting down and reading a book, you know. And
you know,
it takes more time and attention to do that.
I've never done the audiobook, but if I can find one narrated by Morgan Freeman, I'll listen.
Oh, they're out there. I'm sure he's done a few of them.
I will listen to him say anything.
We'll find you some Morgan Freeman audiobooks for sure. But no, we're reclaiming attention span. Let's get back to whole albums and appreciating great pieces of work that are sustained, not just singles, but they're awesome. For whatever reason. Let's start with yours, Drew. I'm going to go ahead and get this one queued up. It's kind of a short song, too.
Yeah, so. It's only like... It's, well, the whole album's kind of short. This is a band called Against Me. The name of the song is Slurring the Rhythms. It's off their album As the Eternal Cowboy. It came out in 2001? Maybe? I don't know.
Possibly.
2003, my bad.
Oh.
But the drummer is actually a guy I went to high school with.
Uh-huh.
His name's Warren Oakes. He's a drummer.
Right.
That's initially how I was turned on to the band. I was like, you know, listen, this is...
Because you know the guy.
Yeah, I know the guy.
Yeah.
You know, dude, Warren Oakes is the drummer for this band. You should listen. So I listened to the album, and I was blown. Like, this entire... It's like... It's 2003, but it is like a it seems like it is a very rocking punk album. Mm-hmm. Like it should have come out in like the mid 90s, but these guys would have been way too cool for all of those shitty punk bands from the 90s,
like the Rancids. And I never liked Rancids.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, it's really good. It's rocking, and these guys are from Florida, so something good comes out of Florida.
Good things come from Florida. Hell
it's
yeah.
This isn't their first album, but it's their first major label debut, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the album's only like 40 minutes long, so it's a quick one. It's almost an EP, but. You know, it's full of hits, all the highs, the lows, the everything, and for the most time, it just rocks like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty awesome song. It's very energetic.
Yeah, the whole thing, it's punk music. It's good, you know?
What's the name of the album?
As the Eternal Cowboy. Yes. Exactly. These guys, I mean, for being a punk band, if you listen to the lyrics, they're actually quite deep.
That's not very punk enough.
The lead singer has actually gone off to become a woman.
All right. Like a Wachowski.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, they still put up music. They still tour. But she is the lead singer now.
That's pretty awesome.
Yep.
That's cool.
And apparently, they've gotten... they've been around. I saw one of their... videos on MTV a few years ago.
Oh, that would have been years ago. Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was weird.
That is
or
weird.
Maybe it was MTV 2. I don't know.
Not MTV Trio?
Maybe. I don't know. It was probably like 2005 when it happened.
When they brought back Headbangers Ball and it was horrible.
Yeah, oh, God. But yeah, so, you know, there we go.
That's cool.
Against Me, Slurring the Rhythms from the album As the Eternal Cowboy.
Very nice. It's pretty epic sounding.
It's fantastic. It really is. It's one of those albums that I keep coming back to. You know, like, at some point in time during the year,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to listen to this album.
That's why we're talking about it.
So.
There you go. All right. Well, this one, my first one, is it kind of similar because it came out around the same time, I guess, 02, 03. And it's an album that I do tend to go to once every few months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, depending on the mood, when the mood hits me just right,
yeah.
This album is like, it's perfect.
It's like, oh, it's time.
It's it, you know, it hits that sweet spot. I picked the last song off the album. It's, what? God bless you. Wait, one more? Nope.
I reject your God and his blessing.
All right, well, hey, I offered it. That's fine. You know, just want to be cool about it. Band is called Hopes Fall,
I know Hope's Fall.
It's such a cute name.
You actually turned me on to Hope's Fall.
There you go. See, I tried turning on quite a bit of people to them back in the 01, 02, 03, somewhere around those days, 04. This one is from 2003-ish, I think. Didn't look it up, but who cares? Album is called Satellite Layers. It's the last song here. Oh, there we go. And song is called The Bending. Mm-hmm. It's like, if I want to sound pretentious about it, it's like, I would say, I'll try to be as pretentious about all of my selections as possible. That's going to be my thing.
Okay.
This is like a post-hardcore, melodic, post-metal hardcore melodic rock band.
Emo, a little bit?
No, that's the melodic. Because I don't want to say emo, because emo denotes whining and dashboard confessional. When it should be, people should really think about the emo of the 90s, which was more just melodic, you know, sunny thing, real estate type stuff. You know?
Yeah.
But no, people think the dashboard has all been, it's been bastardized.
I hate dashboard confessional.
So we're going to call them a post-metal, hardcore, melodic rock band, Hope's Fall. I think they're definitely southern, maybe from the Georgia area.
Okay.
So I won't hold that against them.
Actually, I think I heard somewhere they were from the Carolinas.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
I think Carolina.
But the southern area. Yeah. Right. So, but they're good. They've gone through permutations as band members, so their sound has changed.
Uh-huh.
So they put out a couple of short EPs, like five songs each, that had way more screaming and double bass, much more metal.
Yeah.
This album, they dropped a lot of the double bass and swapped out a lot of the screaming, like you said, that screaming.
Yeah.
Right? They swapped it out for a lot of the singing. Mm. And so that's where like the post-metal comes in. And then it's drums are more hardcore style than metal drums. And then the albums after this,
even more so,
we're getting even more melodic, more rock. But and then their fifth album,
Magnetic North,
that's more ephemeral, you know, more spacey.
I really love that album.
It's grown on me a lot. I like listening to that album with headphones.
Yes. Oh, that is a great headphone.
Yeah, it's a headphone album. Yeah. You know, maybe if you're at home, you'll like. Maybe you might, you know, fall on top of a good bottle of wine and accidentally spark a doobie and it'll land in your mouth.
Oops.
And then you listen to that album. That might happen.
Yeah.
By accident. And then you're like, oh, it worked out pretty well for you. Because you didn't go anywhere. You didn't operate any heavy machinery. That's the key. And I mean, I just love the album. The whole thing, it's just a well-built album from start to finish. I think this song's an example of the whole album because it has its rises and falls, and, you know, it's obviously all post, you know, first chorus, you know, type of structure. It's more, like the Radiohead, OK Computer, let's get weird with it.
Yep.
But still, you know, catchy.
But still metal.
Still metal, still catchy, still good. I think, you know, but definitely done in a way that many people can listen to. People who wouldn't generally listen to, like, certain types of hard rock music could still probably get into this album. Yeah. Maybe not so much the older stuff.
Yeah, the older stuff
more
is
metal.
That's just, definitely
that's
more
just
metal.
More straight up, you know. But from this album forward, it's a little different. I think this one is my favorite one. So
I mean, if people want something even, you know, more accessible, I would say Magnetic North is the way to start.
If you go backwards, you'll find that, they just get
more metal.
They get more metal. Yeah, pretty much. as the band changes, they get more metal. But I do like, and I did get to see these guys live at the Social once, and it was...
I'm sure it was awesome.
It was incredible. They were like the second, they were the penultimate band. I can't remember who headlined. Can't remember who headlined, but it was an awesome show because they all run together.
Yeah.
All right, so let's see. What do you got here, Drew? What's your next
one? All right. My next one, this is a guy named Chaos. It's spelled K-O-S.
Oh, is that how you're supposed to say that?
Yep. It stands for knowing one. He says it's called Knowing One's Self. The name of the song is Neutronics. It's off of the album Exit. I hate... You know what? No, I'm not even going to... No. Anyway, found this stuff in 2002 when it came out. A buddy of mine showed it to me and was like, hey, listen, Drew, you really like that, call it conscious rap at the time, you know?
Okay.
You're Talib Kweli's, you're The Roots, mm-hmm. Mos Def, mm-hmm. stuff, you know?
Nas, you know?
Exactly.
Biggie.
No. But I mean, he is conscious, but not in the same...
In a different way.
Yeah, exactly.
I know what you're talking about, though. You're talking about people that like use dictionaries and stuff.
Exactly. You know, if you listen to the lyrics of this song,
tangent. Well, not even a tangent. No, it's related. If you look online, I saw pretty recently, there's a graph online of the vocabulary of hip-hop artists throughout the years and who uses the who has the most varied vocabulary and who has the most simplistic vocabulary. And it was a pretty wide spectrum. Like, and it was interesting the way they put it together. So, like, recent artists like Kendrick Lamar couldn't be considered because just not enough work.
Yeah.
But still, like, it's pretty thorough. And, like all the way on the one end was, like, Eminem and Nas. I think Nas was number one for, like, most varied vocabulary. And then all the way at the other end with the least varied, I'm pretty sure it was DMX.
Yeah.
Pretty positive.
Where my dog's at.
And then most, obviously most people were in the middle, but it's real. You can find it online. It's you know, they call them infographics. It's really interesting. I don't know if Neutronics is how long has Neutronics been around for? You know, I don't think they're popular enough or have enough workout.
No, this is Chaos. The name of the song is Neutronics.
I don't know how long Chaos has been around.
No, he's been around 2002. That's when the album came out.
So I wonder,
he's put out like 7-8 albums.
So I wonder if he would be on that infographic.
He's Canadian.
Ooh.
But this album,
but we're in Canada. That's important.
I don't know. This album, Exit. It ranges everything. I mean, you got hip-hop, you got rock, you got guitars, you got bells. I mean, you've got everything. He pretty much hits
bells. You say bells?
Yes. Like woodwinds, all sorts of fun stuff.
Okay.
And he hits pretty much every genre of music in this album, and it all works. But it's all also kind of hip-hop, you know? In the first track of the album, they go over that kind of.
What do you mean?
Because there's a little intro where blah, 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 blah. He's on this show and he's like, you know, the announcer's like, so this album, it's got a little bit of rock, a little bit of hip-hop, a little bit of blues, a little bit of jazz. What exactly is it? And then he goes into the first song.
Oh, that's
like
funny.
Him kind of explaining what's going on.
That's pretty funny.
So,
but, him.
Yeah, I mean, ever since I've heard this album once again. This is one of those, it keeps coming back, and every time I meet somebody new, and they want to know my musical tastes, I always try to introduce them to this album.
All right, there you go.
Because as much as this guy has done, this is definitely his best work.
And it's a recent. So you just got on this recently?
Well, no, I've been listening to it. I found out about it in 2002 when it came out.
Oh, okay.
Ever since. I mean, I'm going on a decade listening to this album.
There you go. Man, it still holds up. For
still
you.
Every time.
That's why. That's why we're talking about it. I gotta say, same thing for this one. For me, this whole album from start to finish, I got kind of sucked into listening to it, trying to pick which song I was gonna use. And then after listening to it all over, I ended up just picking the very first song that I picked anyway. And there's a reason why I chose this song on this album. We're just going back to Florida. Bring it back to Florida.
No, good old FL.
This band is from South Florida. This album is from 2000.
So fly.
Name of the band is Poison the Well. It's off their first album. Let's get the song started here. And here we go. The name of the song is Artist Rendering of Me. It's the third track on the album, and it's the first song I ever heard off this album. Now, here's how I heard it. At the time, I was living in New York, and the Seton Hall in New Jersey, they had a pretty powerful signal because I was getting it in Staten Island. You can get it all over New York, actually. 89.5 FM Seton Hall Pirate Radio. We talked about on the live gig, on the live shows.
Yeah.
The boat show that I went on.
Yeah.
That was put on by that station.
Okay.
Okay. So I would listen to that station all the time. They played awesome hardcore and metal and stuff. And, you know, that was before the internet and before, you know, all radio really became homogenized,
yeah.
You know. So it was like getting to hear a Florida band. You know, Florida music didn't get up to New York that much.
Yeah.
But this time, when this album came out, Poison the Well was already huge in South Florida.
I knew about Poison the Well.
You knew
probably well before you did.
Yeah, you knew about them when they were like 16, 17 year olds.
Exactly.
You know, and they were making a name for themselves in Florida. Meanwhile, up in New York, you know, it's all Biohazard and Madball and Vision of Disorder. We had our own thing going on up there, you know. But then I heard they played this song, and I like this part in particular. It was like this, and then this is such a sing-song part. I can sing along when it's live. It really stuck out when I heard it. And I was like, "What?" I was like doing something else. I was on the computer, you know, type on a gateway, typing away, you know, on the dial-up. and this is playing in the background. And I stopped. I was like, what the hell is this? This is really good. And then when I listened, and then the song finished, and they just played the next song, that like they went to a commercial, and I was like, I missed the name of it. So I had to call the station. I was like, hey, what was the name of the song you guys? That's how there's no Shazam.
Yep.
I did have a computer.
You actually had to call a radio station and talk to the DJ and be like, yo, bro, what did you just play?
What did you play? Wrote it down. Shortly after that, went on one of my many trips into Manhattan with my friends, where we would go into the village area. St. Mark's Place in the village is where there were a whole bunch of used record stores and CD stores. I just read an article on the New York Times Online pretty recently about how there's only one of those stores left. There used to be 6-7 of them on one little block. Now there's only one left, and it's getting ready to close.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's all the neighborhood.
The digital age, it killed it.
Not just that many things like gentrification and just the neighborhood changing. It's a sad thing, but you know, it happens. And I went there one day to one of those stores, just walked randomly looking through their gigantic array of used CDs. Flipping through it. It wasn't even in the correct alphabetical order. Stumbled across a used copy of The Opposite of December, their first album, and bought it for like $2-3, and I had that thing. Actually, I still have the CD.
Still have it.
About a year and a half ago, it cracked.
Oh, can't play it anymore, but you got it.
I haven't been able to bring myself to throw it away, man. It's an original yeah. copy from, you know, back in the day. Trustkill Records.
Back in the day.
Oh, and it's
all right. All those CDs we bought, what, like 20 years after they're made, they stopped playing music anyway?
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's pretty ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, it's an incredible album, the whole thing. It's, oh yeah, I gotta be pretentious about this one. It's, for sure, it's South Florida, I will call this one South Florida emo hardcore because there are a few songs that are about how much you like, how this lady's so special. Uh-huh. You know,
and he loves her, but she's ripping out his heart.
It's very it's very emotional to the point of being dashboardy, whiny. But it's shouted out the whole time and with like, very heavy music in the background, so I'll excuse it. But I'm still applying that label. It gets it. There you go. All right, let's bring it back around to you. This is what, number three? You're number three.
Well, I mean, in no particular order. There's no way I can rank these things.
We're doing five right now. Yeah, this is no order, but number three of five.
All right. This is Mars Volta off their album Deloused in the Comatorium. The name of the song is Cicatriz ESP. I mean, it is hands down one of the seminal moments in progressive rock history.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this album blew my freaking mind. It was at the drive-in had broken up. Somehow they got together with like half of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, or actually 3/4 of the Chili Peppers.
It was.
I mean, because they had.
It depends on the songs. On two songs, Flea plays, and on one song, John Frusciante plays. But the rest of the time, it's the bass player from the Long Beach Dub All-Stars.
Yeah.
Isn't that just made up of Sublime?
Yeah, the old Sublime guys.
So, I mean, there's that connection there. And, I mean, Rick Rubin produced it.
Exactly.
Super
Omar's on the guitar. Yeah, Cedric's talking. I mean, in classic At the Drive-In fashion, the lyrics make zero sense.
They make sense to, what's his name?
Yeah, they don't make sense to anybody else. Even though I know every word probably on this song, and I can sing it out loud, doesn't mean it means anything.
Not to you.
Nah.
It doesn't.
And I mean, I heard this album and my jaw just dropped.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I didn't quite know what was going on, and the only thing I could think and still do when I listen to this is this is a 2003 Led Zeppelin album. This is what would have happened if Led Zeppelin had just stayed together and gotten all crazy and kept making weird ass music. This is it. It's the classic Whisper in the Thunder.
Right.
It
They do it. And that has a lot to do with Rick Rubin being their producer. Because this is, they put out a lot of albums since then.
None of them are as good as this.
By far their best one. And I like a lot of their other stuff.
So do I.
They got ups and downs.
It's not the Lost in the Comatorium.
It's definitely the time and the place.
This
and
is
the
a
people.
Musical odyssey for your brain.
Yeah, it's a, the way this was put together is incredible. Yeah.
It's one of those albums, man.
Almost made my top five. I knew you were gonna say it's Isla.
I mean, I have it on vinyl.
Yes.
Okay. As soon as I could get it on vinyl, I had it on vinyl, and I'm like, this is mine forever.
Limited edition. Only 10,000 of those made.
Yep, I got one of them.
So do I. So that's two. And two down.
The funny thing is, there are no labels on it, so I never know what I'm going to listen to.
If you look closely along the inside on the clear part, because the whole album looks like it's metal. Like it's made out of metal, and there is no label on it. If you look on the close, on the inside ring that's plastic, it's kind of almost...
Oh, it'll like, say
it's,
like
it's
side...
It's printed on there. It's etched. If you look at it in the right light, it'll tell you like side A, like this one side A or some shit like that, whatever it says.
Yeah.
The information is on there. Like, what the fuck? Motherfucker. Yeah, you just gotta put it on and play.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Just listen to it in whatever order. Yeah. Whatever the order the gods decide, you'll listen to that album at that time.
Exactly, because all the songs, you know, it's kind of like Between the Buried and Me's Colors album, where it's just kind of, these songs just bleed in and out of each other. You know, if you've got this CD and you're switching through tracks, you really don't know. You might think you're in the middle of a song.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's the beginning of a new track.
Yeah, so it's like, whoa, guys.
Exactly. And, oh, man, but it's just so good. There's nothing bad I can say about this album.
I do remember bringing this album home the day I got it.
I remember.
I got off work. I worked right next to a Best Buy. So I walked over to Best Buy. I bought it. Might have been the day it came out and brought it home. There were some people there. I was like, hey, guys, this is this album. Put it on. I listened to it three times in a row. I was like,
play.
This is kicking my ass.
Hit play.
Yeah, it's just loop. Here we go.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I've listened to it many times. Since.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those. It's just, oh, God. It's just so good. And all the places they've been just in this song.
Yeah, right?
Just as we've been talking.
And it's funny that you picked this one. This is my favorite song off the album. Yeah. If I were to pick a song, it would be this one. Because, it is.
Well, this
one song is a fucking odyssey.
This is why. That's why I picked it. I wanted people to know.
It's a great example of what's going on there for sure. I'm going to just piggyback right off of that one. Because that's made up of two-thirds of At the Drive-In.
Yeah, it is.
The core two-thirds, if you ask me, but that could be inherent racism because I might be just sticking it for the...
I might be sticking it
for the Puerto Rican guys, but still.
Well, that, and they just happen to be the better duo.
I think so, because
Because the other guys...
Sparta sucks.
Sparta was awful.
Yeah, but for some reason, though, it's kind of the same thing where... For this one album, these two guys mixed with those three guys, plus the one time they worked with... uber mainstream producer Ross Robinson produced what is, in my humble opinion, which is why I have my own show, my face splattered all over my name on it, the like most unheralded, forgotten masterpiece of the 2000s.
Totally.
And that is Relationship of Command.
Well, and unfortunately, and kind of overshadowed by...
Oh, yeah, it kind of did.
That came afterwards.
Yeah, because this was incredible. But, yeah, people have to remember how great this one is. I mean, and I'm going to point out this one song, which I just want to point out the way it starts. It makes me immediately think of Victory.
Okay.
Song is Cosmonaut.
Yes.
And Victory. Yes. Here we go. Yeah, it's like so triumphant. These are triumphant guitars.
Yes. Well, and it's
that
funny.
That you'll play once you ascend the mountaintop.
Because this album for me, I heard it out of sequence.
Uh-huh.
So I heard this after I got into the Mars Volta.
Okay, you went back.
So
it's like reductive.
But also after I'd heard some other things that these guys had done. Mm. And then I go back to listen to this album, and then I see where... it all came from. Because when you listen to this album, this is the beginning of the Mars Volta. There are parts of De Facto in here.
Right.
You get a little bit of the Sparta feel.
Yeah.
It's...
Because if you go through their discography, Acrobat Tenement is like their first album. There's really like only a handful of songs that are even listenable on there, really. But they're trying. They're trying to do something different. You know, they immediately went from that into... they had the four-song EP, Baya. which was great. And then In Casino Out, which,
awesome,
which they disavowed for whatever reason. They hated it. They immediately disavowed
it. So weird.
It, but it's a great album.
I like it.
And you can see the progression. They're already starting to put together stuff that, while it's challenging and different, it's also a little more accessible.
Yeah.
And then I'm telling you, it's when they bring in Ross Robinson. Their best albums are when they work with the when they work with the producers that have enough sway. Like, no, this is how you gotta approach it this way. Do this, that. You massage them. You know, the producer is, especially in rock albums, is very, underappreciated, you know, in their contributions to making a good album.
Yeah.
And I think these two albums, the one you just mentioned and this one, Relationship with Command, really exemplify that, because it was a huge leap from In Casino Out to Relationship with Command.
Yeah.
And then the album was so good that One Arm Scissor got so popular, it burned so white hot, it broke them up. Like, they couldn't do it anymore. And at that point, they had already been touring and making albums for like 5-6 years straight without a break. And then at that point, at the end of that, is when they were going to get popular, and then there were going to be even more demand for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years. So I can see why then Omar and Cedric would blow it up. And they were the guys that blew it up. They got the band together, like, in the park where they first formed.
Yeah.
Like, these guys, we have a meeting at the park. They got to the park, and they're like, we're breaking up.
It's over.
And the other guy's like, fuck.
Well, the other guys went off and did Sparta, and these guys found more awesome people to do, and even
more. More.
No, it's wrong.
So there you go. So there you go. It's a good 10 minutes of talking about Omar,
and Cedric,
and Cedric Pixler,
Zavala,
whatever. And you know, I mean, it's, on the real, it is cool to have a couple of like Puerto Rican American rock stars going out there, because you know. I mean, rock and roll has always been known as the music invented by a black man that was stolen by a white man.
Yeah.
But we're all the Spanish guys, man. People keep forgetting about La Bamba.
La 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 Bamba.
That was a rocking song, dude. All right, so here we go, Drew. Let's, what do you got next?
Well, coming back to the, well, I get, man, technically, I guess it would be a classic this year.
Yeah,
this, hey, officially.
Official. Nice.
This album is officially 20 years old this year.
Awesome. Feel old.
God.
Because I remember crushing this album.
Oh, I remember. I crushed it this week already. It's smashed by The Offspring, 94. You know, I was in the middle of late middle school, early high school. You know, actually getting into music that maybe meant something. This is the song Something to Believe In. I mean, this album, it just crushes from start to finish.
It's ridiculous how good
it is. You just put it on. It is put the pedal down on the gas and just go forward for the next, you know, 46 minutes.
It's and with how many albums they put out over the years.
And all the other garbage that they put out.
Three, four,
I mean, Pretty
five,
Fly for a White
six.
Guy, it makes me want to vomit.
7 albums after Smash, which is their second album. 7 albums they put out since then haven't even come close to being as good as this album is from start to finish.
I mean, every
14
song.
14 songs, man. That's
I mean,
a long album.
Dude, Nitro, Bad Habit, Gotta Get Away, Genocide, Something to Believe In, Come Out and Play, Self-Esteem, It's Been a Long Time, Killboy Powerhead. I mean,
you did name 3 or 4 radio hits too. Which is
I know, exactly.
Back in the 90s when
bands were not doing albums on the radio. Like, the last time you heard more than one song from the same album was maybe the Metallica. You know, they just played 2 albums back to back from the Black Album.
You know what?
And that's the closest you got.
No. I got one for you. Bush. That Bush album, 16 Stone.
At you're right.
At least 5 there songs. Were. At least 5. You know, I mean, 2 years after it came out, they're like, here's Machine Head.
Yeah.
I was like, guys, seriously? That album I got sick of.
Yes, agreed. And that album also doesn't hold up like this one does.
No, it does not hold up at all. It doesn't hold up.
This one does. This holds up. I mean, it's 20 years later, and I listened to this album today all the way through.
And it's still,
and it still kicks ass.
Absolutely.
It's just, it's so good.
How come
they? They were young kids back then. It was the 90s. Dude still had dreadlocks Remember when this guy had dreadlocks?
Yeah. That's when
he wore those silly glasses.
Fresh when he quit whatever he was, degree he was about to get. That I think he eventually got.
Yeah. Right? Something like that.
Like a biochemist or.
Yeah.
Him and Dolph Lundgren should like start teaching science classes.
Exactly. They should.
Oh my God.
I would love to. Yes.
Bullshit reality show idea. the dude from Offspring and Dolph Lundgren
teach
science in junior high.
Sounds great.
Sold. Contact me at cinemacrespedito@gmail.com. Executives to start throwing money at me.
So that was that was Offspring off the album Smash.
Great album.
Listen to the whole
album.
For all you youngins out there,
for you bitches
who only know Offspring from Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Oh my God, I hate you.
Remember, there is an album called Smash. It rocks face. Listen to it.
Listen to it and grow a set. All right. Same time period. I think 2 years earlier. I'm going to call it 2 years earlier without checking. 1992. Fresh off of changing the world of hip-hop with one of the greatest albums of all time that truly pioneered the art of the sample. I'm talking about the Beastie Boys.
Oh, man.
And just the Beastie Boys alone. Oh, man. First off, I was like, all right, we're doing best albums. Which Beastie Boys album am I going to include? Because I'm definitely including one
at least one.
At least one. And I was like, almost... came so close to being Hello Nasty.
Mm-hmm.
I love Hello Nasty is another one where Intergalactic was so big and got played so much that people forget that the rest of the album is fucking great. Great, great album. And then everything they did after that, I was like, kind of whack. And then Homeboy, MCA, Adam Yauch, rest in peace.
R.I.P.
Throat cancer, it sucks, bro. I'm gonna do the album where they didn't rest on their laurels, man. Because after they put out Paul's Boutique and they were loved, and they changed hip hop with the way they put together their music,
dude. Three Jews, three Jews pretty much playing punk music ended up as hip hop superstars.
Yeah, they did start playing punk. And then after Paul's Boutique, they're like, you know what? Let's pick up those instruments again. Yeah. But this time, let's get a little more funky with it. So Check Your Head is the one I picked. Because that's the album that really sucked me in and really made me a Beastie Boys fan. And then from there, I spread out. It was between Hello Nasty and what was one before? License to Ill.
Yeah.
But this is the album that got me into them, and it's still probably my favorite one of all of them. This is Live at PJ's off Check Your Head. It's like a 20-something track album, too. And it goes everywhere from like bass-heavy hip-hop to just...
to this?
Funk.
Funk.
They're straight up, like, you're gonna funk it up. And then rap a little bit. And then they're doing their own, they're playing their own instruments and shit, you know?
That was one thing. At this time in hip hop, there was nobody else playing instruments.
No.
Like, the Roots.
It was all electronic.
The Roots weren't hot yet. Roots. I mean, I'm sure were somewhere doing something, but they weren't the Roots.
They were in Questlove's basement, like, still trying to figure out, like, all right, how are we gonna be the greatest band in the world?
Yeah.
Because we are gonna figure this out eventually.
And they did.
And they did. But yeah, it just changed everything, how people perceive them. I mean, on the album cover, it's three of them sitting on a curb with like their instruments next to them. You know, it's like,
who are these guys?
I thought these guys were doing a hip-hop album. Nope, we're doing this instead. And it's the whole thing is so good. And then again, it was another thing where it's like, all right, I already knew it was going to be Beastie Boys. I had to narrow down the album, and then how I was going to narrow down the song. It's just a very fun song, I think. Yep. I figured you'd try to keep more upbeat after a lot of metal and stuff, you know. But I almost went with Professor Booty, because that's an awesome intro about what's another word for pirate treasure?
Booty!
I think it's booty. or I almost went with Pass the Mic, because that's like... The probably like the most hip hoppiest song on the album. I almost went with So What You Want because
So What You Want because everybody knows it.
Everyone knows it. So because everyone knows it is also why I did not go with that route. There you go. Come on, guys. Beastie Boys, get on it. Especially your youngins.
Seriously.
All right, you know what? Before we get to our last albums, let's go ahead. And Drew, why don't you tell people about the rest of your list? What are the other albums that you considered?
All right,
that we may end up talking about at length in the future. Crespo Discos.
Other albums in consideration: Bonobo, Black Sands.
Mm-hmm, all right.
Snoop Doggy Dogg, Doggy Style.
Oh, so good.
Machiavelli, The 7 Day Theory.
Eminem,
Some Shady LP.
Oh, Eminem. I didn't even think about that.
The Black Dahlia Murder, Miasma.
Oh, that is a great album from start to finish.
Jimmy Buffett, Off to See the Lizard.
And you know, I like Jimmy Buffett.
Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon.
Hell yeah.
Incubus, Make Yourself.
Yes.
Failure,
yes,
yeah, Fantastic Planet. Boston self-titled album.
Right, Boston.
From Boston.
We're talking about Boston.
Bone Thugs and Harmony, East 1990, Eternal.
Oh, that's that one album, right?
Yeah. With the crossword, the only one produced by Eazy-E.
Which is why
it's freaking amazing.
Back to the producers. The power of the producer. Maybe that'll be the name of the episode.
Bonobo, The North Borders. FM Attack, The Astrowave EP. Head Planet Earth, their self-titled album. Metallica and Justice for All. Also Master of Puppets.
Yeah. Actually, I did think about that too. Metallica. Which Metallica album?
Because
of all the metal.
The Postal Service, Give Up. Subtract. That's spelled SBTRKT.
Right.
Self-titled album.
Yeah.
Tycho, both albums, Awake and Dive.
We talked about Tycho before.
Yeah. Warren G, the G-Funk
era. Oh, yes. Timbaland, right? Who produced that one? Nate Dogg? Who produced
remember.
That?
I do not remember.
Dre? The Dre producer?
It might have been.
Maybe we forgot about Dre. Dude, we forgot about Dre. Oh, I can't forget about Dre.
Not there yet.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Drew didn't forget about Dre. My bad. I forgot about Dre. My bad.
Pinback, Off Cell.
Pinback, yes.
Coheed and Cambria.
Wait, which Pinback album, though?
Off Cell.
Which one's that one?
It's the EP with Off Cell on it.
But is that
Microtonic Wave.
Is that before or after Summer in Abaddon?
The EP before Summer in Abaddon.
Gotcha.
Coheed and Cambria, Second Stage Turbine Blade, and In Keeping Secrets of Silent Earth.
Three. Four. No, not four. Blah blah blah.
No,
blah,
Good
blah,
Apollo.
Blah.
I'm burning Star Four. No.
Hmm.
Not all the way through. Hmm. No way. There are definitely like five or six tracks I completely
five or six.
I really didn't.
I guess that's when I.
That is when I stopped listening to him. That album was I stopped giving a shit.
Oh, I stopped listening after you heard Black Rainbow. Just the one after.
Pennywise, pick an album. They're all the same.
Yeah, right.
if you can listen to one Pennywise song, all you have to do is listen to 11 more and you've got an album.
Yeah, totally. Totes.
Talib Kweli and DJ High Tech, Reflection Eternal.
Mm.
And Dr. Dre, 2001.
Ah, he didn't forget about Dre. My bad, Dre. Dre would kill me if he wasn't a billionaire and didn't give a shit.
That's just a few of the possible awesome albums that are out there.
Yeah, that's so many, right? So many. So if you guys were not writing
and anything Led Zeppelin
speed,
or The Doors, good Lord.
Anything Led Zeppelin or The Doors. I was thinking specifically L.A. Woman.
L.A. Though, Woman is fantastic.
Though Morrison Hotel
is like, awesome.
Here's my list, which is, I guess, very representative, a little more as I look at it. Pretty metal. Didn't mean to do that. Here we go. Mastodon, Crack the Sky.
Yes.
But the instrumental version.
Yes.
The score version.
It's so good.
Now, the singing is fine enough. He's just doing like an Aussie thing the whole time anyway. Because it's post-head injury. You know?
Yeah.
But great album. Read the Poison Well. Pinback, Summer in Abaddon. Mentioned that. Mars Volta. Did I see? I wrote it down. Yeah. I even wrote it down. At the Drive-In. Deltron 3030. Their self-titled. He's put out a new Deltron 3030.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure. I haven't heard it yet. I gotta check that out. But that is just one of the best rap albums. Just one of the best albums from start to finish. It's funny. It's musically, it's great. It's Dandy Automator. Probably at his best. Also, sticking with hip-hop, Wu-Tang entered 36 Chambers. Yeah.
Wu-Tang.
RZA.
Wu-Tang is for the children.
Wu-Tang is for your children. Between the Bear and Me Colors, you mentioned that already. Yeah. Either the studio version or the live version, either one. I mean, they're both great. Tool, Undertow. Specifically Undertow because Anima is fantastic, but there are like one or two tracks. Not even necessarily songs, but like audio tracks of just like noise and stuff that you can skip over. Lateralis, same thing. Like the last track is just noise. Undertow, every single track is great music.
Yeah.
So it meets the criteria of great album. Nine Inch Nails, The Fragile, which is a double album. I can listen to all that music start to finish. I'm not going to say this next one because it's a bit of a spoiler for you. I'll let you. Pantera, Far Beyond Driven, because it's Pantera.
It's Pantera.
Miles Davis, Birth of the Cool, which is a very, very awesome album from the late 50s, mid to late 50s. It was pretty much one of his first ones. Philip Glass, Glassworks, mentioned at the top. Tesseract, Altered State, which is the only one on here that's a new album. which just came out, I think, late last year. And it's, the whole thing's great. Postman Syndrome, Terraforming. We talked about them before. Every Time I Die, Hot Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Hot Damn is a great album. August Burns Red, Thrill Seeker. Start to finish, it's just
sick. Machine Gun Guitar.
The whole time. Dillinger Escape Plan, Option Paralysis. And that's another one where a bunch of the other albums are... They have other albums that are classics, but they also have one or two songs in there that are very skippable, at the least. Option Paralysis, Start to Finish, great. Soul Coughing, their first album, Ruby Room. And the one I thought of during the intro that just like popped in my head, the first Down album, Nola.
Ah, yeah.
Oh, so good. So good. That's another case where Down put out more albums with different lineups and different producers. Not the same result.
Didn't work.
Not the same. So go ahead and Drew, let's start talking about this one, because I almost blurted this out as my list of almost top fives.
This is a band called Minus the Bear. The album is Highly Refined Pirates, and this album is entitled Monkey Knife Fight.
And this starts with it.
I love the intro. I love it all. This, you know, this is the first album that I heard these guys, and it's, it all sounds like this, and the entire album is fantastic. I mean, it's very chill, very, very cool, very laid back, very non-committal. Like when I think of Minus the Bear, I think of like sweet talking a girl that I'm not gonna see tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
For some reason, it's just funny. That it's that very lackadaisical, just kind of flying by the seat of my pants. I'm kind of rocking, but kind of cool. Hey, girl, let's hang out, and tomorrow I'm somewhere else.
I like that a lot. It's a great album.
But yeah, this album, yeah, Highly Refined Pirates.
What's the first line of the album? The first line of the first song. Is it, and then we all bought yachts?
Yes, the first line of the first song is, the album starts, like, it sounds like mid-song. It's like, burn-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er-er And another fun thing about this album is the names of the songs.
Yeah.
Like this, the name of the song is Monkey Knife Fight.
With multiple exclamation points after
everywhere.
Monkey Knife Fight.
I mean, the name of the first song is Thanks for the Killer Game of Crisco Twister. Things like, Hey, Wanna Throw Up?
Hey, yeah.
Absinthe Party at the Fly Honey Warehouse.
That is amazing.
Let's Play Guitar in a 5-guitar band.
That sounds like fun.
I Lost All My Money at the Cockfight.
Aw, oh,
silly names for these songs.
And they're all great songs.
And they have nothing to do with what the name of the song is.
Yes, they're very cool. It's very... Oh, man. That's such good music.
It's very laid back and chill. Like I said, very non-committal.
Yeah. That's funny. That's a funny way to put it. Non-committal. I like that a lot.
Yeah. It's you just kind of put it on and chill out. And you know, a lot of their albums are like this. But even so, like, like Menos El Oso. I could listen to that album all the way through. I can appreciate every song.
Yeah.
But for the most part,
I was going to pick one.
There's one song in the middle of the album that I always skip through because it's really kind of depressing.
Interesting. I wonder if I skip that song. But no, I mean, yeah, it is a good album. Hand of the Vice. All their albums I can listen to from start to finish.
Yeah.
But if I was going to listen to one, start
this
to finish,
one.
Yes.
It'd be this one.
Yeah, like if I was actually going to sit down and listen, like, yeah. Listen to something, it would be this.
Once again,
the other ones
reason.
Are better for like background. Omni is probably my second favorite one of theirs now.
Really? It's kind of grown on you?
Yeah, I really like Omni. Like, yeah. That Omni has a style to it that album sounds more sexy. That's like sexy.
It is.
Bear. This, if this is non-committal, yes. Minus Bear, that's sexy Minus Bear for sure. So, but yeah, it's a good man. It almost made my top five. But
it's
then,
good
you know,
stuff.
Yeah, I figure you might be in yours, so I'll just. You know.
And the name of the album, once again, Highly Refined Pirates, because, which I kind of feel like I am most of the time.
Yeah, because if you're going to be a raper of children on the high seas, you must be refined about it.
Exactly.
Drink with your pinky, just like that. Very good. There you go. Drink your
pinky
Aloha,
up, bitches.
Drink your Aloha beer with your pinky in the air. Here we go. My last song. I saved this for last because I figured a lot of people probably stop listening by now because this is the grossest song of all the songs that we're listening
okay.
to. Because it's Mr. Bungle's song.
Oh, I love me some Bungle.
Mr. Bungle, their first album, the self-titled from 92? 91, 92, something like that, early 90s. Yeah. I got into a little mid to late 90s, a little later. This is the high school band of Mike Patton. All these guys got together in high school, and they're sick. They're so good. And then Mike Patton went on to do Faith No More. Epic came out of Saturday Night Live, you know, super popular. He does opera now and movie scores. He's Mike Patton. But Mr. Bungle, this album is still my favorite thing that he's had his fingers in. He's even done a Dillinger Escape Plan album. This is still my favorite thing that he's worked on. I'm going to go ahead and start this song, Squeeze Me Macaroni, which is hysterical. It's hysterical. There you go. You got to listen to, you got to look up the lyrics of this song. Look up Squeeze Me Macaroni lyrics. The whole song is about just equating sex and food. Yep. It's just sex and food. And having sex with food.
Yep.
And with food.
And with food.
And maybe for food. Yeah.
With food.
Give the dog a bone, dude.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And then, and the whole album is just so... There's some songs in there that are even more disgusting, like Girls of Porn, but then there are other songs that are just goofy, silly. But the whole album has like a fun vibe to it, though.
It's hard.
Almost circusy.
I mean, knowing how incredibly talented all of these guys are, it has a certain air of credibility to it.
Yeah.
But then you listen to the album... And it's like, you guys are just fucking around.
You guys are just
in the studio fucking around and putting out the most amazing music I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's insane. It is.
I mean, it's literally, Mr. Bungle is like some sort of weird inside joke for them. It's like, listen, I mean, yeah, we're awesome. I make opera, but then, did you listen to it in the 90s?
you listen to the songs about shit jokes and stuff that
exactly.
we used to do?
Exactly, come on.
We have a song called Help Me, My Ass Is On Fire. It's a 7-minute epic.
Exactly. They're just fucking around.
They are just fucking around, and it's great.
No, exactly, but they're so talented that when they fuck around, it's actually really awesome music.
And then all of Mike Patton's lyrics are, like, super fun, and then, of course...
Super silly.
Yeah, and then the way he delivers them, he has so many different voices and styles. He's, like, almost like the Michael Winslow of rock and roll,
yeah,
of metal.
Almost.
I'm surprised he doesn't go straight. It's like... you know, a robot sounds in the middle of shit. Maybe he does another stuff. But yeah, it just, and then this part's like, even this little metal part right here, right? This guitar, like, such a crunchy guitar. It's such a 90s crunchy guitar too. I don't hear music like this anymore. Where's the music like this? People gotta be making
it
somewhere.
Like it.
No, people gotta like it. People gotta be making it. It's on the internet somewhere. If there's music like this, people out there on the internet, I don't know about it, send it to me on Twitter, @IamChrisCrespo, because I want to know. And then executives, I'm still waiting for my money. I haven't gotten my email yet for that reality show. I'm still waiting, guys. So, yeah, Mr. Bungle, I love it. Fantastic stuff. First album.
You know, I probably wouldn't be surprised about how many people don't know about Mr. Bungle, but know who Mike Patton is and what he's done.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of, yeah, they should know, right?
Well, you see, I got it, man. My buddy, shout outs to David Fernandez out of MIA.
Shout out.
305.
What's up?
He's never listened to this, nor will he ever. So.
You're a bitch.
But he got me into Mr. Bungle along with Primus around the same time.
Yeah.
A little bit of pork soda.
Yeah. Floating in the sea of cheese.
Yeah.
There you go. Promise, that's good stuff. Maybe talk about some Promise on a future episode. So there you go. Mr. Bungle, it's fantastic. I love it. Listen to it. You should listen to it. Those are five fantastic albums, start to finish, that you should all listen to from each of us. That's 10 albums total, bitches. If you don't know about any of them, get on it, because it's worth it. Trust us. All right, so there you go. Before we're going to end the show, before we talk about what we're quote listening to now, let's do the plugs. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero419 on Instagram and Twitter.
And then, like I said, hit me up on Twitter @IamChrisCrespo. Go to ChrisCrespo.com for reviews of stuff and back episodes of Cinema Crespo. So we have, if you want to listen to the movie stuff, I don't know why you've got this far, but obviously we haven't talked about movies.
Nope. We're not talking about movies.
You go back and listen to episode 70 we just did. We just did episode 70.
No.
Right, and then we got 71 coming out soon.
Yes.
So, hey, there you go. All right, so what are you listening to now, Drew?
I'm kind of sneaking in a whole another album.
I'm going to do that too, actually.
it's something you might not expect. It's older album.
Mm-hmm.
I think mid-70s, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
The Cars.
The Cars.
Off their self-titled album.
Such a good album.
The Cars.
Yeah.
It's not the Good Times Rule. I forgot which one I picked. I'm not going to lie.
Well, I mean, there's so many good songs.
Well, no, that
on
album
there.
Is freaking phenomenal.
That's the thing.
It is. It's got that. It's got, man, where else? What else? Hang on a second. It's got the Good Times Roll. It has My Best Friend's Girl. Everybody's heard that song.
My Best Friend's.
Yeah. Just What I Needed. Mm. I guess you're just what I needed. Yeah. It's on this album.
Yep.
You're All I've Got Tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, you know this.
Yep.
Bye Bye Love, you may or may not have heard that song. It's one of their less popular. And then there are other songs on there that weren't on the radio, but all those were radio hits. Like, if you listen to any of the quote-unquote classic rock stations around your area,
yep,
chances are you're going to hear one of these songs.
Listen to a classic rock station or like a Sunny FM type station,
yeah,
you know, like a robot station like that. They'll definitely throw in a bunch of those in there.
Oh, yeah.
It's very listenable stuff. 1978, I looked it up.
Okay.
78.
So there we go, yeah, 1978. I mean, hell, the whole album is only 35 minutes long.
So, yeah. So if you can't listen to that,
you got a half hour to kill. Put on the cars.
If you can't listen to that, then you have no attention span, because that's good stuff right there. I'm going to finish it off with a fantastic album, start to finish. It is, because it is all, yeah, we are sneaking in there. We're cheating. But because, you know.
But I'm listening to it now. It's not my fault I listened to this album yesterday.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out the albums, and I remembered how great this one was. The album's Get Some. The band is Snot.
Snot!
Yes, and the song is actually Snot.
Snot!
Yeah, so he says that. So, fantastic album, and it was a thing where the singer died because he got T-boned by a truck, by a big rig, and he got killed.
That was the end of the band.
That was the end of the band, which is a shame.
Yeah, because they were good.
They were great. Great potential there. So there you go. This is Snot with Snot. I'm going to start with the cars, close with some Snot. Thanks for listening to the show. We appreciate it, guys. Thank you, Drew.
Very welcome, sir.
All right, we're out of here.
Let them lead you up in something for the record. Tell the people what you feel.
Fuck the record. And fuck the people.
Your soul found.
Can't you see?
I'm coming through
your jam.